Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning. Earpiece in here. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I am the aforementioned Tim Wildman, and Ray Pritchard, Dr. Ray Pritchard, is co-hosting with me today from Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. We're walkerless today.
We're walkerless. Where's Walker today?
Walker is in D.C. With
one of
our staff members. They had a important meeting up there with a large number of conservative groups. So Walker's representing us. So he's not doing our Facebook page today. Brent, do you know who is doing our Facebook page? Wesley's doing our. Anyway, so I don't know. Are we live?
Yeah, okay. We are live because I can see you.
You are? Okay, good. We're live video streaming on Facebook. So if you want to watch the show, you can go there or listen. You can go there at our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can comment on the program as well there. And Walker should be back in studio tomorrow and take over. But his brother Wesley is doing that for him this morning. And Ed Vitagliano is out as well. So it's just Ray and me, and Fred's gone too. I don't know what we did to people.
It was a rough day yesterday.
Monday was not enough of a holiday.
I don't know. Maybe Ray and I offended all the rest of them.
Maybe this is like a boycott, you know?
Yeah, those guys have their feelings hurt too easy, though, really.
Too many snowflakes, yeah, you know?
Walker and Ed. Fred, real sensitive.
That's right.
Tender people. Chris Woodward is in with us. Fred's out traveling the good old US of A. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, he's not going to Florida now.
No.
But Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Chris, what's your role in the One News Now department?
Well, I do some reporting. I do some anchoring. As far as my beat goes, or the areas I'm supposed to follow generally, is business and environment. And the environmental beat's getting pretty busy these days with all the hurricanes going on. I'd like to begin with a clip, a soundbite. This would be Irma 3, Brent. Governor Rick Scott in Florida had a press conference today updating Floridians and really the nation on preparations in Florida. Evacuations are already underway in some parts of Florida, and more are expected over the next few days as the state braces for the impact of Hurricane Irma. Florida Governor Rick Scott is in Marathon, Florida, briefing on the preparations being taken across the state, urging residents to act immediately instead of trying to wait out the storm.
In Florida, we prepare for potential storms all year, and Irma is no different. Every family needs to have a plan, have a disaster preparedness kit, and be ready today. Do not sit and wait. Prepare right now. Don't watch the path. Assume right now it's going to impact the entire state.
All right. Now, Governor Scott has already activated at least 100 members of the Florida Air and National Guard to assist with planning and logistics. An additional 900 Guard members will be activated later this afternoon, and an additional 6,000 will be ready on Friday for emergencies as needed. But as we hear the governor there say, be prepared for this. Don't sit and wait. Don't watch the forecast. Don't expect it's going to be on the southern part around Miami and you're up in Pensacola and everything will be hunky-dory. They want people to brace for impact and be prepared. And we've already seen some people do that. But I think we'll probably see more people prepared this particular go-around given the fact that we just came out of Hurricane Harvey. I mean, we even had situations where there was shortages of gas. Ray and I talked about that last week in the Dallas area. So a lot of people, I think, may be more mindful this particular time around than certainly they were pre-Harvey.
Right. Where do you go?
You know, I told you last week, just as Harvey was really hitting the Gulf Coast, I mean, I went for an hour from one station to another, and you see these, we saw there for a day or two, people were saying, well, there's no shortage, but mm-hmm. in Dallas for about 48 hours, there were many stations that were completely out of gas. Now that has been remedied, but it's still up. The price is up significantly from what it was a week and a half ago.
And what I'm getting at too is for Florida, it's a peninsula,
right?
So it's a relatively narrow peninsula, considering all things. I mentioned this yesterday. It's probably 2.5-3 hours drive from Tampa to, you know, to Daytona Beach or whatever the direct right through Orlando. So it's not a big state in that regard. It's a long state from Miami up to Pensacola and Jacksonville. But when I say where do you go, that's what I'm talking about, because the whole state is sort of being targeted right now. Now, in the next 24 hours, they'll know more exactly where it's going to make landfall or likely to make landfall. But Ed's dad, for example, he lives in Boca Raton, and Ed had to talk him out of talk him into leaving. It didn't take too much encouraging. Right. So he's coming up here to stay with him during this. And so Floridians by the, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, I don't know, maybe millions, will have to find somewhere to go. But here's my point. You've already got Florida being a tourist destination. You've got Disney World and all the Universal. You got Orlando's already probably booked 80% of the year on their hotels, okay? And that's as inland as you can get to avoid coming in from either side of the either the Gulf or the Atlantic. You see what I'm getting at here? People are going to be going into Atlanta, all right, and to get it safely.
Well, if this storm hits head on, and still uncertain, but if it hits head on into Florida, I-75 and I-95, they're going to be turned into parking lots, right? For hundreds of miles, and people are going to get caught on the interstates. So, we don't give anybody any advice except to say, if you think you got to get out, you'd be smarter to get out sooner rather than later.
Right.
You know, Chris, I want to ask you, you cover the environment, and you keep up with that. I was waiting for the first hurricane or two to hit in what, major hurricane to hit in what, 12 years?
Depending on the size, yes.
Okay.
Three or larger.
For the global warming crowd to start lecturing us on that these are caused by global warming. Where have they been the last 10 years? The global warming bunch.
Well, and a number of people have said as much. We did see right after Harvey hit, particularly with the flooding that affected large parts of Houston, a lot of people were saying the hurricane and the flooding were evidence of what people call man-made climate change, man-made global warming. We interviewed skeptics to get reaction to that. But as you pointed out there, we had such a large gap between something like Katrina, when Al Gore and others started warning these things would become more common, more powerful, and something like a Harvey. And that has been evidence for skeptics to say, listen, folks, it's not because of man. It's these things are cyclical. They happen in certain ways. There are a whole host of conditions
We've always had these tropical storms that start off right off the coast of West Africa and come to the Caribbean. A lot of them die. A lot of them go north. A lot of them peter out. A lot of them, some of them turn into hurricanes. We've just been fortunate that we haven't had, a major hurricane hit the U.S.
I would expect we're going to hear more of that because, as we were talking about before the show, we've got Irma. We're watching for Irma, but now there's Jose coming up in the Atlantic area.
We're in the peak season for hurricanes.
It's abnormal to have hurricanes this time of year or even have them back-to-back.
And overnight, Katia came up in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, that's going to hit Veracruz probably in Mexico. But right now, there are three major tropical storms between the Gulf of Mexico, and then there's Katia, then there's Irma, and there's Jose coming up after Irma. So we're going to be in this cycle now for a while.
Well, and that's what happens when you have when the waters warm over the summer.
Right.
From May, June, July, August, the waters heat up, especially in the Gulf and in the Caribbean. And that's just energy that feeds these tropical storms and turns them into major hurricanes. So, I mean, that's just nature taking its course. I don't think man could contribute to that, quite frankly. I'm looking at this eyewall for Irma.
Right.
And that's a perfect circle.
Right.
And you're talking 185 mile an hour winds. I just don't think man could create.
This is not CO2 emissions that did that.
Duly noted, Ray.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ray, I don't want to divert too much into this, but I just have to ask you, does Do you think the Bible has anything to, does the Bible have anything to say about natural disasters and, quote, the end times?
Well, it certainly does. Mm-hmm. If you look at the, you look at the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in many places. You go back to the, you go back to the prophets of the Old Testament, warnings about signs in the sky, which is why people were so interested in the eclipse just a few weeks ago. We're being reminded between the eclipse and this, this succession of hurricanes, man can do what he wants, but God is sovereign. He sits on the throne. And if we're asking, do these hurricanes somehow signal the end of the age? Well, they certainly signal this much, that our God is in control. He rides upon the waves. He holds the winds in the palm of his hand. The winds and the waves obey him. He decrees where they are and what they do and where they go. So it, you can either look at these kinds of things and say it just happened by chance, or you can say, as the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and he is manifesting his power in the wind and the water and the waves. Is this a sign of the end times? It certainly corresponds with the truth that there will be upheavals in the earth and in the sky, in the wind and the waves, as we approach the end of the age. How close are we to him? Nobody can say.
And also, if you look around the world, around the globe, Chris, mm-hmm. you have, Ray mentioned wars and rumors of wars. And I know down through human history there have always been
right.
wars and rumors of wars. But it just seems like there's just this ongoing uneasiness.
Oh, right.
You know, around
yeah, there's
the world.
So much going on. We can't fit it all in a newscast. I mean, you have to pick and choose. What do people need to know this hour?
Well, now from Central, from South America mm-hmm. to maybe Africa is the calmest place
right.
on earth.
Right.
Right now. You know, but you got Iran. Mm-hmm. What's going on in there? Always, you've got to watch. Keep your eye on the Middle East and Israel, mm-hmm. and then you got North Korea, Ray, going on, and
which is the unbelievably dangerous right.
yeah.
at this point. Would anybody be surprised at any moment? This is the world we're living in. No predictions here, but would anybody be surprised if suddenly we found out that Kim Jong-un launched a missile toward Japan or toward Guam with a payload to try to destroy? That we know he's got the power. Mm-hmm. Would any of us be surprised? And that, I think, is what's changed. I think, you know, Tim, we talked about North Korea, say, a year ago, but it was more theoretical at that point. Well, maybe
yeah.
someday. It feels now like that day is upon us.
Yeah, the only hesitancy I would have, or the only precaution, I don't know what word I'm looking for exactly here, Chris, is Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to, he's got sure. to know it's mutual it's mutual destruction.
Oh, right. sure.
Right.
So if he does do as Ray just said, there's a good chance that he's going down too.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, you know, and China weighed in, as China sometimes does in these situations. You know, they said, look, if the attack begins this way, we'll have no choice but to respond. If these guys attack you, we'll respond, things of that nature. And really, China is a big player in this situation. Certainly, they were involved in the war that really never ended, the Korean War, just kind of, you know, stalemate for the last 65 years. So China is a big player in this. President Trump has in recent days alluded to maybe not doing trade with countries that trade with North Korea, which again brings us back to China, because we get a lot of our stuff, like it or not, right or wrong, from China. And we don't really
impossible.
Know how that's going to affect businesses here.
Right.
You know? I mean, we have a number of businesses that, for whatever reason, are getting a lot of product from
yeah.
China. So you're going to see a lot of price shortages, price increases.
If you were to get in a
so
trade war
right.
with China over North Korea. One other question to you, Ray, about the North Korea situation. You know, this guy, is he an atheist? Kim Jong-un, does he claim any religious affiliation?
I think he claims zero religion at all. What they have is, the religion they have, so to speak, is the worship of their leader. He is the divine leader. He's, you know, his father was worshipped. It's kind of a divine leader. It's not literal worship, but that's the position of that family, that they are the supreme, that he is the supreme being of North Korea. So no, he wouldn't be any form of Buddhism or Hinduism or animism, no religion yeah. whatsoever. And I was thinking to myself, you know, does he want to live to a ripe old age? I don't know. That's really the question. Everybody's trying to psychoanalyze this guy, but why would you shoot a missile over Japan, and right. why would you test a hydrogen bomb unless you thought you were going to use it? It doesn't right. make mm-hmm. you know. And the other thing I want to say is, as I listen to pundits, this is a rare moment where, whether you are on the left or the right, almost everybody at the end of talking about Korea says there are no good options on the table. We just have to. Nobody's ready to push the military button right now, right? Nobody yeah. is. So what's plan B? Maybe sanctions. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, mm-hmm. now isn't he over in, isn't he trying to broker some kind of deal?
There are reports of that today, yes.
Between South Korea and North Korea? Mm-hmm. I saw that. Like I mentioned yesterday, I get a little tired of the Monday morning quarterbacking, mm-hmm. so to speak. And Vladimir Putin seems to keep saying, you know, it's as much on us, being the U.S., mm-hmm. this provocation going on. We're provoking Kim Jong-un. You see, he seems to act like it's some 50-50 deal here, you know, when in fact, mm-hmm. You know, it's Kim Jong-il firing. We're not firing missiles over North Korea like he is over Japan.
Exactly.
And threatening Guam and those kinds of things. So, I just hope, I wish Vladimir Putin would shut up.
No, yeah.
And, you know, but I also, right to your point about this being a bipartisan problem, if you will, mm-hmm. Democrats and Republicans. The Democrats, there is, you know, President Trump is in a precarious situation. Of course, mm-hmm. he signed up for the job.
Sure.
Right.
So, you know, you can't complain about it. But at the same point, at the same time, think about the situation that President Trump is in. This is why we need to pray for him, and he needs the best of advisors around him, and I hope he has them. I think he does with his top military brass. Mm-hmm. But you've got to say, Ray, you've got a situation where if he attacks Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-un fires back and we get into a war. Now, a war with North Korea would probably be over relatively quickly, given our military might and mm-hmm. our capabilities. But still, millions of people may die.
Right.
And so you got that situation. On the other hand, let's say, as you point out, Ray, this crazy man does fire a weapon at Hawaii or right. L.A. or Guam or all three, mm-hmm. and it kills a lot of Americans, then everybody's going to be saying, well, President Trump, you knew he had these capabilities,
right.
and he was taunting
right.
us, and you did nothing about it.
Right. Especially now, everybody just finds something to hate
yeah.
Trump about.
Yeah. So what about this suggestion, Ray? Not that I have all the answers here, but what about if President Trump's position should be, and the Trump administration should be, we're not going to talk about this any longer.
Right.
We've said our piece. We've made ourselves clear. If American lives, our territories, our allies are attacked, we will respond appropriately. And other than that, we're not going to react to the daily launchings of weapons or taunts by this nut job over in North Korea.
Let me give you a hypothetical and just ask okay. what we're all just guessing here. But let's suppose the unthinkable happens. North Korea launches a missile headed for the West Coast, okay? We assume it's got a nuclear warhead, right? We shoot it down. I mean, our missile defense isn't perfect, but it's pretty good, right? So we shoot it down so it doesn't reach the West Coast. But we're assuming he was going to hit L.A. or San Francisco and millions were going to die. What do you do then? Do you then launch the missiles and take
oh,
out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You blow North Korea
he
off
started
the face
it.
Of the earth.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the risk of, I mean, back to the no good choices. Nobody wants to kill innocent
right.
people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you have no at that point. That's an absolute act of war, and you have to crush the enemy immediately. That's my
Otherwise, they'll do it again.
Well, and the other thing is, you better get everything the first time around.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And China, you know, if China's going to complain, well, they need to do something.
Sure.
About it. If they're going to complain about us and President
North
Trump.
North Korea's on their doorstep.
Exactly.
They should do something.
Exactly. Right. They should do something. And, you know, they do have leverage in the sense that they do a lot of trade.
They're the number one trading partner.
Yeah, with North Korea. It doesn't make any sense to me for China to continue to trade with North Korea if North Korea is going to continue to act badly like this, if China's against them acting badly. And you know, so but China gets a lot of minerals from North Korea.
Coal.
Yeah, I read that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch the show, go to Today's Issues Facebook page and watch our live video streaming. What's the next story, Chris Woodward?
All right. The other thing to be watching today is the House is going to be taking up aid for Harvey victims. These are four victims of Hurricane Harvey, what to do to help Houston, Corpus Christi, places like that. Certainly a lot of people lost property, businesses, things of that nature. I don't know whether or not they're going to kind of wait and figure out what, if anything, happens with Irma. I would imagine some people are going to be in favor of that, or at least you might see representatives and senators saying, let's figure out what happens with Irma before we get to that. All of this does come, of course, at a time in which they're trying to settle on a budget that would begin October 1st. They've got the debt ceiling issue to work with. That pops up every 6 months, it seems. And, oh, by the way, we still don't have what people call a repeal and replace for Obamacare. The Senate is actually beginning what it calls bipartisan work today on health care reform. We'll see how that goes.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it the responsibility of the federal government to rebuild Texas and Louisiana and Florida and South Carolina? Or what? I mean, how is it? Is it? I'm just asking, Ray. Is it to... I mean, it seems to me the United States has, and I say this maybe half with my tongue in my cheek, but not completely. The United States of America has unlimited financial resources. It's incredible. We are at $20 trillion of debt, and it doesn't dent us at all.
Right.
Right.
We can keep printing that money and giving it out. And I'm just saying, you're talking about how many billions of dollars designated for Texas and Louisiana?
Looking right now, I've seen figures in the $7.9, $7.8 billion range. That's just for
that's
one
aid package.
That's
a start.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the beginning, right.
Yeah. So, right. So, I guess we have unlimited money. I mean,
we got printing presses, Tim, right?
Right.
We can print a few billion if we need it.
And if you say no to any of this,
right?
If any congressman or senator votes no on any amount of money that's supposed to go for hurricane relief, they're not going to do it because they're going to be.
Right. Who wants to vote against that?
They're going to be uncompassionate.
Oh,
they
yeah.
don't
right.
care.
We
right.
saw that with Sandy.
Right.
A few years ago where Republicans didn't like what they called pork spending.
Well, Senator Cruz, because he's being called out by
Christie
mm-hmm. for being a hypocrite. What Senator Cruz was saying at the time of the funding for Sandy was, look at all the pork that's going to states that have nothing to do, that weren't impacted by Sandy. Nobody wanted to hear about that. They just wanted to yes or no on the funding package for Hurricane Sandy. But I'm just amazed at the amount of money we have here, and we're able to borrow. The days of a fiscal conservative political party are over.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans, Democrats are basically socialist, and Republicans are big government spenders. And there's no third alternative where somebody's going, we need to balance a budget. That's you get laughed out of town on
right.
that one.
Yes,
all right, we'll be back. Abraham Hamilton III is going to drop by. Thank you, Chris.
Yes, thank you.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Robert Jeffers, advisor to the president and author of A Place Called Heaven.
Have you ever heard the saying before that some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good? Well, the truth is, that is absolutely impossible.
We'll also get news headlines from Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl of American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
You know, the Bible describes Jesus' last days on planet Earth. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel, the Holy Land, March 8th through the 16th. And we'll be visiting those places that the Bible mentions in Jesus' last days, including his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on the Mount of Olives. We're also going to go to the house of Caiaphas and see the very steps that Jesus walked on his way there from the Garden of Gethsemane. And then finally, that day, we'll be going to the Via Dolorosa, the path that Jesus walked to the cross. So it's going to be a fantastic time in Israel as we see what happened to Jesus and we talk about the hope that we have in his resurrection. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com, or call 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Well, I was taken to the woodshed the other day by one of the bigwigs at National Review, the conservative magazine. The guy was dumbfounded that I wanted to send illegal aliens back to where they came from, including dreamers. Now, it's true, I believe that people should come to America legally, and I don't believe we should carve out exceptions for rule breakers. It's unfair to immigrants trying to get here legally, and it's unfair to those born on American soil. But instead of agreeing to disagree, the National Review editor attacked my religious faith, accused me of wearing my Christianity on my sleeve, as if defending national sovereignty makes me a sinner. The issue here is not biblical. It's constitutional. And the Constitution says only Congress can make laws, not the president. And by the way, I don't wear my faith just on my sleeve. I wear it from head to heart to toe. I'm Todd Starnes.
Brian Fisher here. Did God cause Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma? We'll talk about that. On immigration, the media and the left continue to blast Trump for a problem that Obama created. And Hillary continues to blame everybody but herself and earns a new nickname from me. That and more today on Focal Point at 105 Central.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program. This is the American Family Radio Network. We are here 24/7 providing Christian radio programming for you, and we thank you for listening and hope that you'll tell your friends and family and neighbors and fellow church members about us. Our goal is to educate and inform and equip the body of Christ, the Christian church, to understand the times and know what's going on and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and stand for truth and righteousness. And, I always answer, people say, well, what's your mission statement? And we do have an official mission statement. But my simple answer to that is whatever God's for, we're for, and whatever God's against, we're against.
That's
our mission
That's
statement.
That's good. That works.
So there you go. Abraham Hamilton III joins us on Wednesdays for this half hour. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
And Wesley Wildman has stepped into the studio. His brother Walker's in Washington at a very important meeting, but he sent you over here to do Facebook.
I do Facebook and comment when I can. You know, I was wondering if you were going to introduce me, and because I noticed that Walker and other people got really jealous when they saw the comments on how much people appreciated me on Facebook the last time I was on. I didn't know if they're always going to get run out of town for just doing my job.
No, you mean they were people were grateful that you were managing
the Facebook page
that Walker does when he's here?
Yes, yes.
Because you're posting the stories we're talking about and monitoring the comments there on
yes.
the Facebook page.
And the last time I was on, I was on for Trivia Friday, and we did Pink Flamingos.
Yes.
Is what we talked about.
Pink Flamingos.
We won't be
right.
talking about that today?
No. We got like North Korea, Category 5 hurricanes bearing down on America.
End of the world.
Yeah, end of the world. We're going to talk more end of the world stuff. We'll get back to Pink Flamingos another time, Wesley.
Well,
this is a serious show, okay?
On a serious note, I just posted up on Today's Issues Facebook page, following live as Hurricane Irma hits Caribbean.
Right.
So from independent.com. So we do have a link up there for the most recent information as far as that's concerned. I know that as far as Harvey's concerned, I know that we're partnering with 8 Days of Hope.
Yes.
And so that's a really good thing that that our listeners will be able to be a part of today.
And in 10 minutes, we're going to be talking to Steve Tiber live from Houston, and we're going to be telling you how you can make a donation today through American Family Radio, and we're going to write one check to 8 Days of Hope Ministries to help them be the hands and feet of Jesus and be the hands and feet of our listening family, too, mm-hmm. on the ground there in Houston. There are a lot of wonderful ministries to give to that are doing great work there in this relief effort. But people have asked us, hey, AFR, who do you trust with my money to do the work and to not waste the money and to do it in the name of Christ? Mm-hmm. And 8 Days of Hope is our chosen ministry we've been working with for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking to Steve Tiber in just a few minutes. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning again.
We have an audio clip. We're going to place. You want to set this up?
Sure, I'll set it up. So I've been talking about President Trump's announcement to rescind the DACA program, and I say rescind, not repeal, because it's not a law. It was an executive order that President Obama signed in June of 2012 after Congress refused to pass his DREAM Act. One component of the DREAM Act was, we're talking about DACA today, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, but there was a parents provision called DAPA that basically provided legal status for illegal immigrants who had children in America. Obviously, their children would be U.S. citizens, but that would not make the parents U.S. citizens. Well, the president's administration was sued over that provision, and it was found to be unconstitutional. Well, President Trump has now announced that he is rescinding the DACA provision that refers to, they say the dreamers that are children, but the reality is the overwhelming majority of the people that participate in the program are adults today. That even at the time that it was signed, it applied to people 31 years old and younger. So, you know, you're not talking about babies. But, of course, that doesn't fit the politically correct narrative to get the thing passed. Well, in announcing his rescission of the program, President Trump dispatched Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who, in announcing the rescission, said, listen, the DACA program is on unsound legal footing. It is an unconstitutional overreach and abuse of executive power, because if you haven't read in our Constitution, there's this thing called a separation of powers. Congress passes law. The federal government, the executive branch of the federal government, enforces those laws. But you can't just create a law by executive order because you don't like what Congress has done. So because of that, the president and Attorney General Jeff Sessions has announced their rescission of that program. But I just wanted to share with today's issues audience that the legal reasoning, before you get to any of the emotional heartstring pulls and all of the appeals, the legal reasoning for the rescission isn't original to President Donald Trump nor Attorney General Jeff Sessions. There was another person by the name of President Obama who argued for years that he couldn't do what he ultimately did. And so I wanted to play some audio for you saying that.
There are those in the immigrants' rights community who have argued passionately that we should simply provide those who are illegally with legal status, or at least ignore the laws on the books and put an end to deportation until we have better laws. And often this argument is framed in moral terms. Why should we punish people who are just trying to earn a living? I recognize the sense of compassion that drives this argument. But I believe such an indiscriminate approach would be both unwise and unfair. It would suggest to those thinking about coming here illegally that there will be no repercussions for such a decision. And this could lead to a surge in more illegal immigration. And it would also ignore the millions of people around the world who are waiting in line to come here legally.
Now, that was not right-wing conservative clinging to his guns and religion. That was President Obama himself arguing the unwise lack of wisdom and the lack of fairness. This is President Obama. The lack of fairness in any attempts by him unilaterally to overstep the bounds, the constitutional bounds of the executive branch, and to enact by executive order the very policy that he ultimately did.
Now, how long ago was this clip?
This is from July 1st, 2010.
Wow.
Let me ask you this about that. That was amazing. That was stunning to listen to him.
A round of applause.
He was, yes. President right. Obama been about well the only time I ever would have applauded him. But he was absolutely he was absolutely right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And sure. And it's the very same, almost verbatim argument that General Jeff Sessions made yesterday and that President Trump echoed yesterday. It's almost the same thing. They're saying exactly what President Obama said in 2010.
You know, Abe, I want to ask you then, given what President Obama said in the clip, mm-hmm. what was his rationale then for changing from that? Did he offer a constitutional argument when he gave that executive order?
Oh, no. No constitutional argument. The only argument was Congress. It was almost like a hissy fit, an Oval Office hissy fit. Congress won't do what I want, so I'll just do it anyway. And the other thing I'll add in is that this wasn't only in 2010. President Obama carried the same argument 2010, 2011. It wasn't until after re-election time in 2012 when he reversed his course and enacts this DACA
policy. It's also when he changed his view on marriage.
That's exactly right.
After his re-election. Remember, before the re-election, he said marriage is between a man and a woman, mm-hmm. and that was his view. And it was only after he was reelected that he came out in favor of two men being able to get married. So, you know, I hate to use this word with a president because it impugns motives that when you can't actually read a man's mind. But I say that President Obama on the marriage issue was a liar because I think he full well was in favor of two men getting married. But he didn't want to say that because it hurt him, especially in the African-American community, mm-hmm. with his votes. If he would have lost 10% of the African-American vote because of that, could have cost him the election. He knew that, so that's why he would not come out.
But you're not speculating and impugning his integrity because there are two affirmative, objective, I wouldn't say objective for everybody, but two sources of information other than yourself that confirm that. One is his former chief of staff, David Axelrod.
True.
Who wrote in his own book that he persuaded President Obama to lie to accomplish just what you said. But even beyond that, and the reason why I know this is before I came to AFR or anything else, when the election was coming around and I first heard about him at the 2004 Democrat National Convention, I started doing my research and I found, now I wasn't a journalist, I was just a regular old citizen, my day job was a prosecutor, and I'm just trying to help the people in my small group Bible study, my own church and other places that I know, I found a state questionnaire from 1996. You know how in state legislative races, different organizations in Illinois would send out the questionnaires. And in 1996, then candidate for the state Senate in Illinois, Barack Obama, signed a questionnaire saying he supported a right to marry for homosexuals in 96. So it's not a far out assertion, nor even impugning the integrity right. of somebody or not knowing his mind.
Back to the DACA issue for just a minute, and we're going to go to Steve Tiber momentarily. But and Ray, and we're talking to Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is a constitutional attorney in addition to being our general counsel here at American Family Association and now host of the relatively new program called Hamilton Corner. The Hamilton Corner, heard each afternoon, Monday through Friday, from 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. If you haven't tuned in to Abe's new show, each afternoon, 5:05 Central Time, please be sure to do that starting this afternoon. Now, back to this DACA for just a minute, which President Obama very eloquently laid out the case that he couldn't do that. It was about that he couldn't do what the unilaterally make a decision to affect immigration like he ultimately did. I think what happened there, Abe and Ray and Wesley, is that President Obama figured out that he could, in fact, remember the pen and phone
mm-hmm.
comment? He did get frustrated with the Republican Congress blocking him on what he wanted to accomplish. He decided he would start doing executive orders, and he decided, too, he and his team, I guess, decided, we're going to push the limits of the executive orders until somebody pushes back
mm-hmm.
against us. Well, the Republicans never pushed back against President Obama. Impeachment was never an option, which you should be impeached as many times, quite frankly, as many times as he abused the executive order. I remember the multiple times that President Obama used the executive order to change Obamacare.
It was over 30 times.
Obamacare was a law that was passed in the Congress. If you're going to amend that law, you have to go back to the Congress to get it amended. He didn't do that. President Obama just decided, I'll amend it myself however I want to. So anyway, the point is, this DACA was an unconstitutional, quote, law by executive order, and now people are trying to make President Trump look like he's the bad guy. And Attorney General Sessions laid it out so well yesterday. They're actually the guys who are trying to follow the Constitution here on this. And so he's punted it. President Trump has punted it, if you will, to the Congress, right?
And just to give just a brief reminder of what's going on here, President Obama's frustration with Congress really should be his frustration with himself. If you can recall, at the beginning of his first term, there were Democrat majorities in the Congress, which is how we got Obamacare to begin with.
That's true, for 2 years.
Exactly. So if he wanted to pass immigration reform, he could have done it through Congress the same way he ramrodded Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. 2 years.
2 years.
2 years. The Democrats control the House, Senate, and the presidency, and they didn't pass this, comprehensive immigration reform. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Now, Steve Tiber is on the phone with us from Houston. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Steve, before you tell us what's going on, I want to let folks know we're going to be giving out a phone number momentarily, and our website, afr.net. Many have asked, and they asked us last week after the hurricane hit in Texas and Louisiana, who do you recommend I make a donation to, AFR? Who do you trust? And we decided, obviously, there are many good ministries that are credible, doing a wonderful work, but we've always partnered since 2005 with in natural disaster relief with the 8 Days of Hope ministry started by Steve and his dad. And so they're on the ground now in Houston. They're getting ready to do ministry work in the name of Jesus Christ, and they're a wonderful group. Have you guys finished? All right. So here, let me go ahead and give the phone number. If you want to make a donation to, this is going to call our office. Doesn't this call our office,
yeah.
Wesley?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to probably answer the phone, American Family Radio. Here's what I'm promising you, the listener. If you make a contribution by using this this toll-free number or go online at afr.net, we're going to turn around and write one check to 8 Days of Hope in Steve's ministry. So that's what we're going to do. We're not going to skim it. We're not taking any of the money for ourselves. We're passing it right on. But it's a collection plate, if you will. We're passing to the AFR.
What you just mentioned is also going to be on our Facebook page. The phone number, the website, everywhere, every bit of information you just mentioned is going to be on Today's Issues Facebook page, and it'll be one click.
Awesome. Awesome. Here's the phone number, and then we'll talk to Steve and see what they're doing down there. Here's the phone number to call and make a gift. You want to call and make a one-time gift. It's a one-time gift, not a monthly gift. It's a one-time gift, $25, $50, whatever you want to do. Every bit of it's going to go to 8 Days of Hope. 877-616-2396. $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $100, whatever you want to give, we're going to send on down there to help in this effort. 877, I'm giving you the phone number to call, 877-616-2396, or go to AFR.net and give online, AFR.net. Steve, what are you guys doing down there?
Well, this is day number 7 for us. So the volunteers, well, when we got here to Houston, we had to find a church because we expect 3,000 people to be in and out with us over the next 2 months. We normally go for 8 days on our rebuilding trips, 21 days on a rapid response. But this is an epic storm. So we are going to be here right now through October 15th. And on October 1st, we'll change that date to a date to reflect kind of where we're at. But our volunteers have been out for 3 days. This is the third day. We have volunteers already from 32 states. Many of them got on a plane the minute they heard that we were going to be a part of this at the front lines. And the first thing we did at at the church we're staying at is we pumped out all the water out of that church. We had, God's blessed us with some great equipment over the years. We brought every piece of equipment that God has entrusted us with, everything, is here in Texas. So we gutted the church. We got all the water out of the church. We had to make a decision last week. And, you know, I've reached out to three organizations that I really appreciate their counsel. Of course, the board of 8 Days of Hope. But I met, Tim, with you and your staff. And I met with our other partners, a company called Provia, and also talked with our newest partner, Our Savior's Church, down in Lafayette, which we served in June. And we had an opportunity to make a very quick decision. We had to make a decision on $500,000 of commercial dehumidifiers and fans. And why that's important is you can't find a dehumidifier in Texas right now. And when you got a house that flooded and you get everything wet out of the house, you got to dry it. And if you don't have a dehumidifier and fan, you're not going to be able to dry it. And so we had to make a decision. And so literally after a day of sitting down with our partners and people we trust, because I'm not the wisest person, but we went and we asked you guys to give us your counsel and pray, and we made a decision to do it. And so I don't have $500,000 in my left pocket, and neither do our partners to say, hey, here you go, this one's on us. And so very quickly we made the purchase. And so all that equipment is here, it's in use today as we speak, and that's a God thing, brother. So we're here.
Where are
you?
What church are y'all working through?
Yeah, so we're at Grace Houston Church. Grace Church Houston. I'm sorry. Right here, and if you put it on
Pastor
Google,
John
McArthur's it will come
church.
Up as great. It will if you come up on Google, it'll be Grace Community Church. So we're southeast of Houston, and we're working with a 20-mile radius.
John MacArthur's church in California, but you're saying this is an affiliated church?
Isn't that correct?
I don't think so. I think it's Pastor Steve Riggle.
I don't know. I do know this. You know, Pastor Garrett and his staff have been unbelievable. It is a mega church. You know, they see 10,000
right.
people, and they gave us the whole building. I mean, we
gotcha.
Now we there was 4 feet of water in the sanctuary, and we got all the water out within hours and drying everything. So
if people want to come, Ray, you get the next question after I ask this question. But Steve, when are you guys, the 8 Days of Hope that all our listeners are familiar with, and many of them participated, you got your rapid response team down there now, but you're going to have a big deal where a lot of people come in?
Well, we're going to have a lot of people these next 2 months, like never before. Usually our rapid response ministry, we go 21 days. This is our 18th trip. Now, we don't always communicate that live on AFAFR because we'll be doing communication every other week, and that's not fair to anyone. And so this is our...
Are we losing?
Yeah, we lost him. Here's the phone number, folks. And again, what we're doing, and this is highly unusual, when was the last time you had one ministry raise money for another ministry?
It doesn't happen often.
Doesn't happen often, does it, Ray?
No, it does not.
And but we felt like people were asking us, who do you trust? And we thought, why don't we just pass the collection plate from the AFR family and give the 8 Days of Hope one big check? And so that's what we're doing. I don't know how much we're up to right now. But anyway, here's the phone number. Call and make your donation. And we're going to give 100% of it to Steve and his team down there, as they're going to be working there for 2 months. Here's the phone number, 877 616-2396. It's a one-time gift. This is not a monthly donation. We're not giving your phone number to anybody. Nothing like that. Just taking a donation for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 bucks, and we're going to give it all, whatever you want, whatever you can give, $100, whatever you can give, we're going to give it straight to 8 Days of Hope on behalf of American Family Radio.
Man, we appreciate it, Tim. You know, you asked that question. We our rebuilding trips will take 3,000 people in 8 days and rebuild hundreds of homes for free. $30 million of work. We've been all over the country. We are going to have multiple trips. You know, I even floated an idea out to the board the other day. Let's do 8 Days of Hope 14 and 15 because we put Roman numerals to our trips. Let's do them back to back. Let's bring our leaders in for 16 days and lead people in and out because this is an epic storm.
Yeah.
With, you know, people realize five times as many people live here than in the areas that were affected by Katrina. And with Katrina, because that's the storm everyone compares everything to, at least in our generation, with Katrina, 50% of the people had flood insurance. Well, with Harvey, only 20% have flood insurance. So you have five times as many people needing help, 60% of them less have insurance than they did in Katrina. So this is unfortunately the perfect storm.
Ray, go ahead.
Steve, when the time comes for volunteers, which it sounds like it's coming quickly, what sort of help do you need? Do you need carpenters, plumbers? Do you need people who can rake, who can lift, who can clean? What sort of volunteers would be most helpful?
Yeah, so right now, less skilled guys like me that can't handle equipment normally, to gut a house, we're going to gut thousands of homes, we hope, in the next 8 weeks. We're going to dry them out and then spray it so they don't get mold. So this is a perfect trip for the less skilled volunteer. Now, if you're a professional, come on down. Bring your equipment. You'll be leading teams. Now, when we come back and rebuild in the spring, then we'll be looking for plumbers and electricians. But you don't have to be a plumber, an electrician, a carpenter, a roofer to come to Texas. Today, you know, I looked out. We had almost 300 people on day number three. Some of them flew in last night. We had about 130 females and about 150 men. We had three different, significant different ethnic groups. We had people already here from 31 states on a heartbeat, all to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So go to our website to volunteer. Our website, if you want to volunteer, is 8daysofhope.com.
8daysofhope.com. Steve, just one recommendation to you. You mentioned that a few moments ago that you floated an idea with your board, and I was going to tell you I would not. I would just. I don't think that's a good use of words right there. Can you avoid that?
Tim. Now, I met with you, and now you're known for your puns too, though, Tim. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just teasing. I'm just kidding with you, Steve, brother. You know that you and I have known each other two decades, so
I hear you, brother. Hey, guys, thank you so much. Yeah. Do you know that 80% of our volunteers come because they heard it on AFR?
Mm.
And so thank you. You know, when I met with you, and then, you know, your dad, you guys have been strong supporters since day one. So we really appreciate it.
All right, Steve, take care. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. And I know you'll be on other programs throughout the day here on AFR.
Thank you, guys.
We got about a minute left. I'd like to share a quick story about Steve.
Fire away.
One of his main leaders there for 8 Days of Hope is in my Sunday school class. And we were having Sunday school class this past Sunday as they were talking about this. In the same classroom that Steve Tiber was my Sunday school teacher when I was about 8 or 10. So we've known Steve for a long time, and I'm so grateful for the work he's doing there. And he's the perfect person for that position.
He and his dad started this after Katrina in 2005, just wanting to go to the Gulf Coast and help somebody.
That's right.
That's just a couple of guys wanting to go do something. And one thing led to another and led to another, and we've had a great association here at AFR with 8 Days of Hope since 2005.
That's right, and the website and the phone number is on Today's Issues Facebook page. I'll give it out. It's 877-616-2396, or you can visit AFR.net, and it's on the front of the page.
We'll be back with more in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.